is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy in the first chapter, and they are taken from this lesson, these verses for our text, verses 3 to 5. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. If you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the divine training that is in faith. Whereas the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Dear friends in Christ, this text letter contains, so to speak, in a nutshell, the sum of the Christian life. And of course, it is at the same time the charge that he lays upon Timothy as he goes to serve the congregation in Ephesus. He speaks to him of the aim, the telos, that is really the end result or consummation of our whole task, is this. That is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere or unfeigned faith. Those are the three things that he stresses for Timothy, and naturally it is also the sum of the Christian life for all believers. Love is a word that everyone knows about, and much is written about, and many preach about. But the Apostle Paul here first of all warns Timothy that he shouldn't teach any different doctrine, and he shouldn't allow any different doctrine to be taught than this, a love that issues or comes from a pure heart. And so the world has its own definition of love. Much of what people will speak of as love has to do with a kind of discriminatory love or a selective love. If they like someone or he appeals to them or there can be some mutual benefit, this person then is loved and there can be love between them. But that is not yet the kind of love that the Bible speaks of. This is really a kind of selfish love. The Bible speaks here of a love that does not come from the outside, but of a love that issues from the heart. It comes from within the person. And that love goes and extends to all men. We are told in the scriptures that God lets his rain fall on the just and on the unjust, and he lets his sun shine on the good, and he lets it shine on the evil. And we are reminded when God set his rainbow in the sky that he made a pledge and a covenant toward all his creation, which he loved. Though many will go astray, yet God loves them all. God loves Cain. Jesus loved Judas. All without discrimination. That's the love of God that flows from the heart, that is to be reflected in the Christian life. In other words, it is a love that doesn't grow dim because there is no more advantage in the love relationship, but it is an unfailing love that lasts. And it doesn't look for anything within the other person, one way or the other. It flows from the heart. As God gives us all good gifts, as was pointed out from the scriptures and is also contained in the first article, all good gifts he gives to us purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. And what does this mean? That means that this kind of love says, to quote Luther, I love you not because you are good or bad, for I draw my love not from your goodness or from another's fountain, but from my own little spring from the word which is grafted in my heart and which bids me love my neighbor. Now, where does this pure heart come from, though? Where do we derive a pure heart? We are not born since the fall of Adam and Eve with a pure heart by any means. And yet, we are to have a pure heart that loves even the enemy, a love that is flows from the heart. Here we must turn to the power that makes the heart pure, namely his word. Jesus, talking to his apostles, said just before his crucifixion, "Now are you clean through the words which I have spoken to you." In other words, we constantly emphasize the power of God, the power of the gospel, the power of the sacraments, and we turn men to them. And that's what St. Paul is talking about here when he says that I charge you that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, not to find this love like Eric Fromm and other great philosophers of our day as a kind of a definition that we make up and then say, well, that's the divine thing, that's the latest religion and so forth. Oh no, this is a love that must begin and end with the word of God itself, which makes us clean. And if we let his words abide in us, then we have a pure heart. So it brings us again to the word and sacrament, which creates this pure heart. And this is just at the point where false teachers often challenge those who cling to this word. And they'll say, we want deeds and not creeds. After all, we believe in love. We don't believe in constantly emphasizing the gospel and so forth and turning men to the sacrament as an obligation that they ought to carry out. The gospel must be taught in its truth and purity, we say, and the sacrament rightly administered. And if we say, well, that isn't rightly according to the scripture, people will say, well, what are you making a fuss about a little thing like that for? Not a little thing. This is where how we derive a pure heart, and this is where the real love flows from. True love to our fellow men, then, must be preceded by the love of God. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor as yourself, and then love the Lord your God with all your heart. But just as in the commandments, all the ethical commandments are preceded by commandment number one, thou shalt love, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So Jesus, summarizing, said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then the second is like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But what is happening so often, even in the name of Christianity, is that people define some kind of system of their own, which they call love, and they proclaim that often without Christ even. They are saying love is God. The Bible doesn't teach that love is God. The Bible says God is love. And that's where the whole thing must start. And if we have that love, then we can serve with a good conscience. Yes, it's true. We will do whatever we can, wherever we are, toward our neighbor, for his best interest, and dealing with him honestly and fairly. Sometimes we'll miss. Sometimes we'll fail. That's true. But we can still serve with a good conscience if together we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so, constantly, we can then, as people of good repute in the community, not that we're saints and holy in the sense that we never do any wrong, but with a good and clear conscience, serving our fellow men, whether as in the church, as lay people, whether in the church, as pastors, it makes no difference. This is the way Christians serve one another, with a good conscience, and where they have failed and they pray together, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, then we see what the Bible says, love shall cover a multitude of sins. finally you will say, but how can I have this good conscience before God? I can't stand with a good conscience. My conscience accuses me constantly, which is a function of the law. But here, of course, we must turn then to Christ. And that, St. Paul states a little further on in this chapter when he says, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We don't try to be something we're not. But we have, with a pure heart, we approach the throne of God with meaning, with integrity, with our sins and all, and then he creates within us this pure heart. So by believing in this Christ, with his Holy Spirit in us, we can not only have a clear conscience, but can also count ourselves among those of whom Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But what does it mean in the Old Testament when it says there, and they looked on him whom they have pierced? Does that mean the centurion under the cross with his soldiers? Does that mean the Jews of Jesus' time? That means everyone in the whole world. That means you. That means me. Look on him whom we have pierced. Look on this Christ who has redeemed us, takes away the sin of the world, and realize in faith, that is my God. That creates a kind of revolution also in the heart. That has a deep impression that changes us. Through that we are born anew, and we become followers of Christ. And so, with a pure heart then, we also must love our neighbor. And so we have come then full circle here. An unfeigned, pure faith in God, that brings us to a good conscience, but also it brings us to a love for our neighbor with a pure heart.